services, Lavazzi at boom1.co.uk present the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Make sure you press record.
The dogs disagree. Hello and welcome to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 240. I'm Adam, and I haven't got a quote. And here's Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
I'm a man of mystery.
And Mary Lang.
And for once, I will actually do what I'm told.
That would make a change. today, we're going to be looking at The Caretaker. And I nearly missaid that as caterer for some reason. We're a bit lacking in presenters this week because Debbie's been let down in the childcare front. So we'll just have to try and wing it. Right, the episode begins with a sort of a sequence where the Doctor and Clara are sort of shackled to these posts in some desert planet with two suns, or at least two suns, because we don't know there's not another
one. The rock formations are very much like the rock formations that you always see in Star Trek.
Are they?
Yes.
Okay. Do you think that's deliberate? Or I suppose it must
be. Yes, I'm sure that's deliberate. I'm trying to remember what those rocks are called. They're out in California. Even The Big Bang Theory went there. And Bill and Ted's, the second Bill and Ted movie, and all sorts of things.
I don't care. This looks so interesting. I wish they would do a story around that scene. I'd love to know how they got there and how they get out of it.
They didn't explain it at all. They were there and then they weren't. And I did make a point of this on Twitter. All the other episodes they've had, well, not all of them, but a couple of the other episodes have had similar weird beginnings, but they've actually come back and explained them. On this one, they didn't. Maybe they'll do on a future episode. What?
With the Master?
Yes.
With the next segment of these adventures with the fish people, do you suppose he's talking about the fish people from which set of fish people?
I don't know.
The second Doctor fish people, or the fish people like the guy with the fish head from Torchwood,
or the other fish people
Martha
got friendly with? They're sort of fishy. So anyway,
I'm thinking it's the fish people from the underwater.
It could be. There have been a few fish people.
Underwater menace.
Yeah. Underwater menace. Yeah.
But anyway,
It is 5:05 in the morning. My brain is trying to consume
alcohol.
Alcohol.
Oh, there you go. No, not alcohol. I don't drink. Sorry. Mm. trying to consume caffeine. And
okay. Anyway, so Clara and Danny's sort of relationship, romance, is still getting in the way of the Doctor and Clara's adventures to a degree.
You're brown. You weren't that brown this morning.
Yeah. There's nothing to do with the. Somebody said that was to do because they were in the desert, weren't they? That's why. That's the only reference to it. So the Doctor, essentially, after a little bit of flirting between Clara and Danny,
snapping of the fingers.
Oh yeah, that's good. Yeah, but they had to use that because obviously that's in reference to Silence in the Library and had to happen. There was also a reference to River in this episode.
Yes.
And the thing I loved the most, of course, was the teacher that looked like the 11th Doctor, which I thought was really, really clever and funny.
Capaldi's accent is so thick that it took me three times before I realized he said, with the river thing, I lived among otters once for a month.
Okay. I
you probably understood it immediately.
I don't think his accent's that thick. There's Scottishness there, but not broad Scots. So, yeah, he's a new caretaker then, and he, of course, has to wear a caretaker's coat, because all caretakers wear coats like that, don't they?
I wouldn't know.
Not here. Nope.
No. I was being facetious. So,
Well, when you were a kid, did the caretakers wear coats like that?
No. Caretakers just were caretakers. I certainly did wear brown coats. It's a stereotype the Doctor decided.
Stereotype?
You're the one who can speak.
That's when you decide to take your sound system and knock it over.
Yeah, you're the one that you can talk for Freudian slips, talking about your alcohol intake earlier on. Anyway, so there's quite a lot of little sort of slight sort of bickering scenes between Clara and the Doctor, which are reminiscent of Perry and the Doctor.
Yes.
They're slightly bickery, because the Doctor wants Clara's full attention, and Clara's got her attention sort of elsewhere. Meanwhile, a policeman...
Except when she mimes, "I've got my eyes on you."
Yes.
Hey, yes. What the hell are you doing? That was interesting when she says that silently. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Anyway, so a policeman moves some school kids on, goes down a scary sort of dark sort of warehouse type place, and then gets incinerated by a strange robot.
Now, is that the reason why it was shown later than its normal time in Britain?
No, it was shown later than its normal time in Britain because of a sort of first episode of Strictly Come Dancing, and there was something else on as well.
I thought the charred hand was a little much. I mean, it didn't bother me, but I was thinking...
Mr. Bella watched it. She thought it wasn't scary at all, this episode.
Oh. Okay.
Well, anyway, I think for the kiddies' sake or for whatever this is building up to, we're finding out everybody who dies goes to heaven.
Well,
or the promised land, you know?
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily everybody, but I'm thinking some of the characters that have died that we haven't seen go there yet will be there when it comes to the series finale.
Right, yeah, we'll find them later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did refer to a couple of characters earlier on that it was poo-pooed when I mentioned it by Ben, I think, actually. But anyway, I'll bring it back when it actually does happen. I'll just say, there you go, I was right, as usual. Must admit, this Courtney character...
I can tell, I know times when you've not been right.
That doesn't happen very often. This Courtney character I find rather irritating, to be honest with you. But
I love her!
I don't like her, I find it irritating.
I think she's great!
I think she performs the part
she's
well.
She's definitely better than that teenage girl.
Oh yeah, yeah, well you can get much worse, could you, to be honest with you.
So, yeah, I haven't made up my mind yet. Yeah, times I'm irritated with her, times I appreciate her. So we'll see how she evolves.
Indeed. Like I say, when the Doctor realizes that or thinks that Clara's got a crush on the teacher that looks like the 11th Doctor, it's the scene in which she's sort of following him around and sort of saying, "Oh, I see," is absolutely hilarious and really, really clever. You would have thought that Gareth Roberts would have written that scene. So it's very reminiscent of his sort of writing.
Didn't he write the story?
Yes, he
at least
did.
Most of it?
Yes, he did. I was waiting for a pedantic moment. It didn't really arrive in the way I would expect it, but it eventually did come.
I know, when you wait for the pedantic moments, they don't come, but when you're trying to get on with it, then that's when they interfere.
Anyway, when Courtney sort of enters the thing and sees the TARDIS, I thought she was going to step inside, but it did remind me a little bit of Unearthly Child. I know it's sort of set around that area as well, funny enough.
Master?
What?
The doctor, the two teachers and a schoolgirl.
Hmm.
That's what we have in this story.
Yeah.
I've seen that someplace before.
But not necessarily his granddaughter.
No.
No.
Well, we don't even necessarily know that Susan was his granddaughter, even though she kept saying grandfather.
Of course she was.
But still, and who knows, maybe Courtney is his granddaughter.
Going down a different route there. So the Doctor has a plan to get rid of these robot-y things, because obviously they're going to destroy the Earth at some point.
Master?
So yes?
Did you notice during the sequence where he's planning all the little time thingamabobs around the school, and he whistles a bit of Brick in the Wall?
He does, yes.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't recognize it. What is Brick in the Wall?
It's a song by Pink Floyd.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, anyway, he gets his watch, which makes him invisible.
It concerns school kids.
Yeah, never mind that. The watch makes him invisible, which was obviously, there used to be a TV program in America called, I think it was The Invisible Man, actually, in which the bloke had an allotted period of time that he was able to stay invisible due to his digital watch. So that was clearly a homage, because it was that type of digital watch from the 1970s with the
Master
LED display. Hang on, what have I said wrong now?
Nothing. I was just that why if the Doctor had invisible watch technology, why has it taken 51 years or 50 and a half years to use it?
Yes, it would have come in handy, wouldn't it? Yes, that did strike me as a bit annoying.
Yeah.
Also, the fact that he can now use it whenever he likes now. But yeah, mind you, I suspect he picks up technology here and there on his travels anyway, so he might not have had it until this episode.
It's going to make... So now he has... invisible watch technology is going to make for some very boring stories.
But also, it's
going to... Turn invisible, go...
Yeah, but we don't know. He hasn't already been invisible in other stories now.
How true.
So we some things that might not have been explained might be explained by him actually being there all along, but being invisible.
I think we're going to need to resurrect J&T and destroy the invisible watch.
Yeah.
The way that the Sonic
I don't
was
think
destroyed.
They can carry on with the invisible watch because
right, that's
otherwise
my point.
It's just going to be so predictable as into how they can get out of certain situations. But I don't mind it for a couple of episodes. And I don't mind the fact it's just turned up because, like I said, it's he could have picked it up recently on one of his trips because obviously he's not doing every single trip or adventure with Clara. He's coming back and picking up Clara now and then, and he's obviously having adventures or unseen adventures, which will come out as novels or whatever, in between, where he could have picked up this digital watch.
Big finish, and then we'll be able to hear Mary and Matthew.
That's a ways down the road, since we don't have any Big Finish adventures yet with Tennant or Smith, or Eccleston yet.
It'll happen.
Yeah, I hope so.
Except for Eccleston.
Yeah, so basically, the Doctor set up a few little things as a trap, but unfortunately Danny moved one of them, which then sort of scuppered
his
plan.
Actually, he moved two of them.
Well, he moved two of them, but scuppered the plan a little bit. But the Doctor was able to move the robot into the future for a day or two, which he miscalculated. Obviously, this then sort of rather ruins the Doctor and Danny's relationship, especially when he finds out that that's who Clara loves. And it comes down
He's
to
your
the...
He's your dad, your space dad!
Yeah, it comes down to the is he good enough for Clara sort of scenario. So that
Is Danny a good man?
But I've heard that Danny's supposed to be a baddie, but I don't think it's... at the moment, he's the Doctor's adversary simply because they're competing for Clara's attention. But it's not necessarily, at the moment, baddie as in he's out to kill the Doctor or out to destroy him. It just seems that they're sort of like... they're at loggerheads in a sort of more conventional sort of daily life sort of way. There's no danger in at the moment. You're not thinking, oh, it's not like Turlough. He might turn up and try and bang the Doctor over the head with a great big rock. It's just the case that they're competing for where's Clara going to end up going. Is she going to again go with the Doctor or is she going to go with Danny? And that's where we're at the moment. I'm not saying it won't change in future episodes.
Who knows? Maybe the Doctor will come along and bang a caveman over the head with a great big rock.
Yeah, all right. Thank you. So, Danny's taken the news that the Doctor's a Time Lord, alien, travelling around time and space, and so is Clara. A little bit bad initially, but he sort of warms to it. But then he puts in the, oh, who are you going to go with, me or him sort of scenario to a certain degree, which has been done in Doctor Who in the past. I'm just skipping through. Oh, yeah.
He picks up that thing and makes you go, who are you going to call? Ghostbusters.
Yes, and also when he enters the TARDIS, he winds the Doctor up by doing saluting and using military sort of words and phrases to really annoy him because he's picked up on the fact that the Doctor doesn't like military people. And that's the problem, isn't it, that he doesn't like Danny because he's ex-military. Of course, the Doctor himself is a warrior, or he has been. So, and that's a very sore point with the Doctor. So, while us having a slight disagreement with Clara and Danny, he invites Courtney into the TARDIS. But unfortunately, Courtney, at the moment, gets space sick, doesn't she? She sort of...
that's at the end.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, is it? Sorry. Okay. Well, this bit, she does go into the TARDIS.
No, she doesn't even go
in. She looks in. Shut your face.
She looks in.
She looks in, yes.
It's the same way the first time Danny looks in the TARDIS when it's up on the stage.
Yeah, okay.
It's just looking in. Neither of them first
goes.
Slightly
wrong because I'm just looking at things that are a reminder. I've only seen this once, you see. Mary, I've only seen this once. Anyway, there's a parents' evening.
So I'm the only one who's seen it 3.5 times.
Yes, you are. There's a parents' evening, and the doctor does a partners in crime thing. Where he's trying to attract the attention of both
Master?
Of them. What? What?
Did you see the banner? No, probably not. The banner in the room during the parents' night has Coal Hill School on there.
Yes.
And the motto of the school is a spirit of adventure, which is Gareth Roberts put that in specifically because it's a reference to the Sensorites. When the doctor says to Ian, it all started out as a mild curiosity in a junkyard, and now it's turned out to be quite a great spirit of adventure, don't you think?
Oh, okay.
And I just wish they'd been able to get Ian into, since the actor's still alive.
Yeah, and he's the governor of the school, yes.
Yes, it would have been so neat. But that's why Coal Hill's motto is a spirit of adventure.
Yes. I do like the gadget the doctor's put together. It's so typical, sort of thrown together pieces of equipment that the doctor sort of hashes up. Now, that's so typical of the doctor, isn't it? Occasionally he puts these strange gadgets together.
Master?
Yes.
And then the doctor becomes a military figure to the Scovox Blitzer.
Yes. Anyway, so yeah, there's a big scene where both Clara and Danny help the doctor.
Wait, Robert's online.
Yeah, I've been typing with him because he messaged me something. So I've been encouraging him to get on so that you could call him, Adam.
Well, is he available?
Yeah.
Oh, blast.
Oh, my.
Bear with me just a few moments while we finish off this, because we're virtually at the end of this anyway. Yeah, Danny okay. does a big somersaulty thing over the robot. It's a bit action hero-y.
I mean, then
what?
I don't think that was the same actor who flipped.
Yes, it was. Clearly. And there's a scene where Danny's holding Clara in the way that you saw the first Doctor holding Susan. So, yeah, there is a certain little throwbacks, isn't there? And like you say, at the end of the episode...
like I said, like you got
yeah,
wrong.
All right, shut up. Courtney throws up. So, obviously, she can't travel in the TARDIS then. But maybe she does later. Maybe she does later. Maybe she gets over the problems that she has with...
Yeah.
And she's got a funny name, isn't she? Isn't it? She's got a similar colour name. But we haven't heard yet. No?
Wait.
Courtney's surname.
Woods.
Oh, I thought it was some colour. Anyway, never mind them. So, yeah, then we're in heaven and we see a different bloke, not Missy, until the final scene.
Apparently, Chris Addison, who plays that character, the character's name is Seb, was in that same show that Capaldi was in where he does all the cussing. I've never seen.
Oh, yeah, so what, I know what you mean. Right, okay, then, let's have the big welcome back to Mr. Robert Haynes. Hopefully he'll understand we're recording at the moment. Big pause, dramatic pause, Mr. Robert Haynes.
Yes.
Hello.
My goodness.
Oh, my.
It's Robert.
Hello, everybody. How's everybody going?
I'm fine. You're all right. Are you whispering? Are you not supposed to be doing this?
Well, Justin's just having a rest at the moment.
Okay, so that's why
really
he was
too loud.
Okay.
Yeah.
Welcome back, Robert.
I've only seen half this episode as well.
Only half of it? Well, that makes it a little bit awkward, so we'll just have to try and do our views on the episode, and you'll have to do your views on the first half. So, right, I'll go first. Quite enjoyed it. It was quite a bit of a romp, like one of the earlier episodes. A bit sort of what's that one? The Robin Hood one. That was a sort of Robin Hood sort of episode. And this is very much like that. I thought it was okay. There was a couple of slightly annoying things which I've managed to sort of cover in my explanations, that the Doctor does pick up bits of technology here and there, and he might not have had an invisibility watch until very recently.
Can I mention something about that?
Yes.
You mentioned that watch.
Yes.
That reminds me, have you ever seen a show called, what was it called?
Invisible Man. I see, it was called The Gemini Man. I thought it was Invisible Man. Yeah, thank you.
It was
the bloke from Alias, Smith and Jones was in it, wasn't he? Ben Murphy? Yeah, it used to be one of my favourite shows of the 1970s, because I had a digital watch like that for about 2 weeks before it broke.
Yeah.
And that's why I wanted one, because it was like
it was cool, wasn't it?
Yeah, excellent programme.
But he only, that sounds so Douglas Adams to talk
but
about.
But he was only able to stay invisible for about 20 minutes or something during a period of time. But anyway, back to Doctor Who.
Yeah.
So I quite enjoyed it. I thought it was okay. Let's go to Robert. What do you think of the first half?
Yeah, as you say, it's very much like the Robin Hood one. But yeah, very. I quite enjoyed the humour, actually, for fun.
Yeah.
But I did get a Grange Hill vibe as well for some reason.
Oh, Grange Hill, yeah.
Grange Hill.
I did like the school because the walls of the school reminded me of the school I went to, the comprehensive school in Wales, which was called Stanwell Comprehensive School. If anybody happens to live in Penarth, where Doctor Who is being filmed sometimes.
Master.
So, yeah. I wonder if it was that school. It could have been, couldn't it?
No, they film
it.
Master.
What?
Master.
What?
Gladstone Primary in Cardiff, Holton Primary in Barry, and Tony Refail, wherever that is.
What I'm saying, Kirby, is because the walls are quite similar in design to the old school, which I don't think exists. I think they've knocked it down. Hang on! I think they've knocked it down and rebuilt it anyway, but... those schools could have all been built by similar building companies at a similar
very
time.
Very likely, because I looked at the web pages of these three schools, and all two of them have almost the exact same facade.
Yeah.
It was amazing. It's that same facade that we saw for Coal Hill School.
There you go, then. So I was right-ish. Carry on, Robert. Sorry.
And nice to have a bit of teaching as well, I thought.
Yes.
Seeming as she is a teacher. Yeah. But I did think they laid it on a bit thick that she's spreading herself a bit thin, rushing here and there, having an adventure. When does she sleep, you know?
Exactly,
you've got to have sleep.
Indeed.
But, well, she sit in front of that mirror and say, I can't keep this up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I can. But, I'll have to see the rest of it and let you know about it.
Okay, that would be helpful.
Yeah. I've been enjoying things. I put it that way. It's a lot of improvement on what's been going on. So last year, I guess.
We'll come back to previous episodes in a minute. Kirby,
I loved it, absolutely loved it.
But you were worried you weren't going to love it last week.
Yes, I was.
Why
worried.
Was that?
I wasn't. What? Why?
Why was just, that?
It seemed like it was just going to be. I just didn't trust it. Plus, I have had a very iffy feel with some of the Gareth Roberts stories.
I think a lot of people have.
I'm one of the people who didn't really like The Lodger in Closing Time. People keep going on and on about how The Lodger is great, and I have always been disappointed that the thing on the second floor.
Yeah.
Wasn't really explained. I mean, people are now calling it's a ship of the silence. Well, they never really mentioned it. Although
Kirby, I like Shakespeare. Did you read Doctor Who magazine with Stephen Moffat when somebody brought that up? Yeah, did you read him when he talking about that, though?
No.
Somebody asked him that question, what was that ship in the Lodger? And he says, it was the silent ship.
Yeah. I mean, it looks like a silent ship, but...
I mentioned that with Mary, and Mary was saying, well, it should have been... obvious in the episode, shouldn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah.
But that's Moffat. That's Moffat, though, isn't it?
Hmm.
And see, I didn't like The Lodger in Closing Time, and I didn't really... I'm iffy on Shakespeare Code, which eventually you will hear me talk about the Shakespeare Code in a month or two or 6 months over on Playing Doctor podcast, where I was invited as a guest. So I recorded for them about the Shakespeare Code about 3 months ago, and they have a very irregular release schedule. But I loved Unicorn and the Wasp. So
yeah.
Oh, my.
Yeah, I know you didn't like it, Mary.
No.
But this one I really loved. I was going through it last night on the watch where I try and pull out quotes. And it's just quote after quote after quote, and all the little hidden references, and it's just, this is one of my favorites of the series. But
wow.
other than Into the Dalek, I have really loved and Time Heist. Into the Dalek and Time Heist are my least favorite so far. Mm. All the others I've really loved.
Wow.
I know. I'm backwards. Most people go, Into the Dalek was one of the best things ever. No, it was boring. but
oh,
Master,
you talking to me?
Yes. Courtney is one of the characters in Kill the Moon.
Yeah, thank you for that. That's a spoiler, which you know I don't like spoilers. There's no need to tell
because
me.
You can see her in the trailer.
Oh, can you?
Yes.
She's Courtney.
Well, I haven't seen the trailer yet.
It's a spoiler for Robert because he hasn't seen the trailer yet.
Yeah. And that doesn't matter. I don't mind.
Mm. Anyway,
I've watched all the work print episodes before the episodes anyway.
You naughty boy. Won't keep quiet about those.
that was something interesting as well with this. This is the first of this series where I didn't have any advanced knowledge. And it was nice. I kind of regret having seen the...
Bit late for that. Yeah.
Seen the work prints or I read.
They miss out things though. Some of the scenes get missing and you know, and like take for example Time Heist when he talks about his face and says nice to see. And they cut that scene out where she changes into him, didn't they?
Right. Yeah, I know.
Hmm. Well, maybe there'll be some
if we hadn't read that, we wouldn't have known.
Exactly. Right. So we move on.
And also the whole cutting out of the head of Robot of Sherwood.
Yeah. Okay, moving on. Mary.
Which we understand.
Well, are you all sitting down?
Like contrary.
Yeah.
Like contrary.
If you told me, I would have got the deputy to make me a cup of tea.
Is it that bad?
Go on, Mary.
Well, I loved it.
Oh my god. Oh my god. That's such a shock.
For me, this is the best episode of the season. I mean, it ticks off all the right boxes for me. It has a lot of Clara, which I do like. You know, I don't want to make it sound, you know, when I say there's too much Clara. It's got a lot of her and I enjoy her, but it's also got a lot of the Doctor and his machinations, and he is the center of the story. So that made me very happy. Their relationship has improved in that, you know, the fact that she actively and willingly goes on all these adventures is now evident, other than, you know, the sourpuss attitude she's had up until now. So their relationship is evolving for me, and I'm really happy about that. Oh, and it had a threat. It doesn't have to be a monster, but it was a threat that was not easily defeated. I mean, it seems like a lot of these stories take us all the way to the end and then bam, everything's solved. But this one, we thought it was solved, but it's not. You know, he's had to go through even more to solve this. And the fact that Danny was actively involved is good, too. He's not just this guy standing around scratching his head. I'm seeing a little bit of the Amy, Rory, Doctor thing going on here, you know, where where Rory and Danny, you know, not knowing what this relationship is between their girlfriend and the Doctor. So probably Danny will be more and more involved as things go along too. But I loved it. And for me, this is the first really watchable, no wasted time. I didn't feel that there were any fillers going on in this one as we've been subjected to in the last, five? So. And I was eager to watch it a second time if I weren't so tired. I wouldn't have gone to sleep, so... Yeah.
Well, that's good then, because at least that means you might continue watching Doctor Who.
Yeah. If it keeps going like this.
Have you got back onto your seat yet, Kirby?
No, I'm on the floor, just kind of twitching.
Ooh.
Even though the Scovox Blitzer was kind of a dud kind of monster.
It wasn't much of a monster, it was
like the monster in Vincent and the Doctor, the turkey thing. It wasn't necessary for it to be really a good monster because the story took care of everything else. I was just kind of there. It could have been anything.
Yeah, but it was a threat that was not easily defeated, and I enjoyed
that. It was kind of cool though. They got Jimmy V in again. The little person who was Monica Falata. Yes.
And the Moxaball Hoon, whatever it was.
Yeah, he was also the pig creature.
Yeah.
It's been in a couple other times as well when they need a small person. Yeah. And he's Scottish.
Was he? Oh, fine.
Oh, aye.
And I don't worry about Capaldi's accent because I learned back during the 11th Doctor era that just from the get-go, I just put the subtitles on. and I just basically read the subtitles through the whole thing.
I don't have the option to do that with the way that I am. Have to watch the stories. I don't have subtitles.
Okay. Right.
When I buy the DVDs, okay, then I'll get the subtitles.
Okay.
But, so, our Facebook group is going to go crazy when they hear Robert on this podcast. we're going to hear.
They're crazy anyway, aren't they?
Don't take any notice of him, listeners.
Right. So we're going to.
Well, I'm crazy.
But don't anyone say anything on Facebook.
Don't get put off by the echo, because it's now time for feedback.
Hello everyone at 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast. This is Patrick from North Hollywood with my feedback for the Doctor Who episode, Patrick. The Caretaker. This episode, I'm kind of so-so about. It wasn't bad, it wasn't great, it was serviceable. Decent Doctor Who. My comments are more about not necessarily the story in itself. It was, you know, like I said, it was serviceable, but just periphery comments about certain things. Like, I liked the character development we got with Danny Pink. I thought that was good. I thought initially the Doctor was being really unnecessarily harsh towards him throughout the story, but I guess it was explained that he's always known Danny was Clara's boyfriend, and he just wants to make sure that he's good enough for her. At least that's what I inferred. I still don't get the Doctor's pathological dislike of soldiers. I know he's always been wary of the military and not trusted them, but this particular Doctor is almost venomous in his dislike of soldiers, it seems. A couple of things. I don't think Danny and the schoolgirl Courtney are related, since we meet her parents, you know, at the parent function.
Good point.
At the end, we find out her last name is Woods. So
yes, I know.
I don't think they're related, because and the parents are in the same room and they don't interact at all. And I think if they were somewhat related, that would have happened. We would have seen at least a glance. I do think that this Courtney student does play a bigger role somehow in this season. I just can't figure out what it is. I know she had a scene by herself with the Doctor where she actually saw the TARDIS and looked into the TARDIS. So I don't know how that's going to shape up, but I think we're going to see a lot more of her. I don't know how it's going to play into the final finale, though, but I think it will somehow, her character. Another note, like at the beginning and the end, the police officer, you know, who stumbled upon the Skovox Blitzer and got disintegrated, you know, he had nothing to do with the Doctor. You know, he was just, you know, shooing some school kids who he thought were truants and ran into this Skovox Blitzer and was disintegrated, or so we thought, and he got sent to heaven. So there seems to be, you know, there's no sacrifice, you know, but he's sent to the promised land where Missy and now Missy's assistant are, you know. You know, there's the fact that there seems to be no rhyme or reason as to who goes to the promised land or not just makes this arc even more annoying to me. Because at least you thought, if you thought there was a pattern, like people who are sacrificing themselves for the Doctor or for the greater good of the Doctor's mission. But this, you know, this guy had nothing to do with the story. He just discovered the quote-unquote baddie at the beginning. But there's plenty of people who've been disintegrated or killed in the periphery of the Doctor Who stories this season, and they don't go to the Promised Land. So I don't really get it. I just don't like it at all.
We don't know that they don't.
As a side note, the American listener, viewers of the show, here's what I do now. I DVR the Doctor Who episodes on BBC America, because after the first episode this season, I've just discovered that the commercial breaks that BBC America puts in, it really ruined the pacing for me. So what I do now is it comes on at 6 o'clock Pacific time here on Saturdays, and I'll start watching around 6:45 on my DVR, and I'll just speed through the commercials, because seeing it in one smooth go-through, the stories play much better. But going through the commercial breaks that American television has to put in because of ads really ruins it for me. So that's just a side note. I wonder if anyone else watches it that way. Anyway, so like I said, the story was okay. Out of the magic scale of 5, I give it 3.5 magics. No star, just 3.5 magics. And that's it. Hope you guys have a great week.
Yes. Thank you, Patrick.
You know, Patrick makes a really good point about how to watch it, because this is the first time that I did watch it in its taped form, you know, DVR'd form. So, yeah, I was buzzing through the commercials, so maybe that did help me like it better.
Yeah, that's a good point, yeah. Well, I always watch it without commercials, to be honest with you.
You watch it straight off the BBC, yeah.
Yes, indeed.
But I can understand that, because some shows you watch and you think, wow, if this was without commercials, it'd be a lot better. It would flow smoothly, because sometimes it seems like just getting into something and then they an inappropriate ad break and you think, well, that's making sense, was it?
Yeah.
Well, that's the same with quite a lot of dramas and things, isn't it? The ad breaks can. Well, we hardly ever watch anything like that at home, you know, anything that's on ITV or Sky. That has commercial breaks. We hardly ever watch it live. We always tend to be recording stuff and watching it behind. So it doesn't really become an issue with us. Movies, hardly ever watch movies when they're on. And fortunately, Sky, when they put movies on, don't put adverts in the movies. They wait until the movie's finished. And certain sporting events, specifically football, they'll put a load of adverts at half time or the beginning, or you know, so you don't actually get to miss anything. But there you go, that's just commercial breaks, bit of a pain in the neck, but necessary in some quarters. We've got some more feedback. I might have to turn the volume up, so I do apologise.
Well, good evening, 20 Meg Riders, I'm going to hear. It's 7:32 on Sunday evening. I'm sitting here with a glass of Prosecco on my...
Prosecco? Oh, wow. Be perfect, then.
To hear after my drunken ramblings of last week. It's the first drop I've had all day.
Ramblings.
So anyway, Into the Dalek, or Into Darkness, as we called it last week. Yes, this was probably one of the darkest episodes we have seen in years. And it really just showed, you know, I think I said last week, I vaguely remember this, that this Doctor was going to be a very, very dark Doctor.
Turn the light on.
Now, when it started with scooping up the lady from the spaceship and her dying, and then him threatening him and him saying, no, it's not the way. I think we're going to see this. We saw it last week with him saying, you know, that's not the question, that's not the question. This is how we're going to do things. He's very much a mental doctor. I mean, given his age, you know, the age of his capacity himself, you know, 50-odd, he's not going to meet a physical actor. Therefore, what we're going to see is much more of a mental doctor. I think mental can be used in both of the words, mental as in slightly insane, but also mental as he's going to outthink his opponents. You've always seen this with Clara, the way he's treating her. You know, there's no flirt, there's no boyfriend-girlfriend, and he's now very much a mentalist, projecting himself and herself. So, yes, something's burning. So the way it started, yes, was very good. And then we see him talking himself after being killed, which was rather good. And then, now, did the Dalek recognise him?
Are we talking about this episode? I don't know. It does say caretaker feedback.
Because, you know, you're right, you know, I am your soldier, I am your servant. I am my doctor. Does the Dalek recognise the Doctor for being who he actually is? Or is he saying
he's a doctor? He's attached the wrong audio.
There's a long way to go.
Yes, maybe.
Trying to understand a good Dalek. I mean, this was fascinating, because what you really had was a mental battle.
It's a fair few
Dalek
weeks ago.
Yeah, because this was 2 weeks ago, yeah.
Is this the same feedback he gave us then?
I don't know.
I'll be wrong, but I just seem to think there's something there. We've had that before as well. But I thought it was fascinating the way that the Doctor was talking.
The title of the email is Caretaker Feedback.
People having the Dalek control room sound
the
effects at the very, very
attached
beginning.
Email so, sounds like it's about Into the Dalek for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It doesn't just sound like it, it is.
It is, yeah. Which is 2 weeks old.
I am not a good Dalek.
No, longer than that.
You are a good Dalek.
Okay, so what we'll do then, Andy,
that was the second episode.
Thank you for sending in the feedback. I do really appreciate it, but I'm going to fade that off and say,
1, 2, 3, 4. That's a month ago.
Yes, but I'm sure next week he'll probably send the right one in, right feedback in. He said hopefully.
Or the left one.
Do you realize that we are now 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6?
Yeah,
I'm sorry, Ian. I do apologize.
No.
What's the matter? Well, halfway through what? Oh, well, the series.
We're halfway through.
Oh, dear.
But Kirby, at least we don't have to have a split series and wait.
Yeah, at least this is not the last. Yeah.
And they're filming the Christmas special. Yes, indeed.
Ooh, now.
Hello, 20 Meg Map Podcast. This is Inkirk. In listening last week, although the Doctor saves the two tellers, the bank is destroyed by the solar flare.
You're only supposed to blow the bloody doors off.
The Caretaker by Robertson Moffat.
Robertson Moffat?
A CSO is killed by the Scobox Blitzer. A community support officer is not a proper policeman. They just dress like them. Like Amy Pond in the 11th Hour. In last year's stories, the TARDIS did not like Clara. Now she can control the doors by clicking her fingers.
Yeah.
The Scobox Blitzer is what the war machines would have looked like if they had had the budget for them in 1966. The Doctor claims he cannot remember Danny's maths teacher, but he has no problem remembering he used to be a sergeant. Clara wants to go out with Danny, but he says he's busy that night. Is he hiding something? He claims he wants to protect her if the Doctor does not. What is that about? In Hartnell's day, his granddaughter was at Coal Hill. Now Danny thinks Clara is his daughter. When Courtney asks to go inside the TARDIS, the Doctor tells her he might soon have a vacancy.
Oh.
When I was at school, my English teacher had been a soldier in World War II. Peter Capaldi was on the Graham Norton show with Denzel Washington. Denzel plays the equaliser in his new film.
Yeah.
The equaliser helps protect people using his special talents and improvised weapons. He works in a hardware store, so he must be good with a screwdriver. How am I supposed to remember to feed my memory worms? Bye for now.
Yes, thank you very much. That was Ian Kirk. Ian.
Yes, thank you, Ian.
Thank you, Andy. I have emailed Andy to let him know that he sent through the audio feedback for Into the Dalek. So if anything does turn up between now and the end of the show, I'll let you know. Oh, something just turned up.
That's what she said.
It is 5:03, 2 in the morning. So I doubt that.
Andy Nunn.
Wait, who? Andy. Oh, Andy, I'm sorry. Nunn. Andy is in Britain. I'm sorry.
Yes, I know he's in Britain.
Brain fade.
Yes, clearly.
Yes.
Right then, it's now time to welcome new members of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group. Let's see if for once I can actually remember who I last welcomed.
So, yeah, where's our list from Ian?
Yes, it's not compulsory, you know. he is allowed to not do it.
Yeah.
Yes. Right, so I'm going to pick it up from...
Yes.
Yes. I'm going to pick it up from Santa Glenn Heald, who I think was the last person. We're going to pick it up there.
Santa, yes.
So it's coming up to Christmas, Robert. So Santa has joined the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join.
Try and say Doctor Who.
20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join. Jeffrey Williams. Has joined. Thank you, Jeffrey. James Frith has also joined, as has Austin Tyler Powers, Lacey Frith.
Austin Powers?
And Bethany Davis. Quite a lot of activity in the joining the group front, which has led to us now having 391 members, of which 90 of them maybe listen to the show.
Master?
Yes.
Several of the more recent ones, like Austin Powers and Lacey Frith, apparently. No, I'm sorry, Bethany Davis, probably Lacey Frith and James Frith, are people that I apparently met at Anime Weekend Atlanta.
What do we say apparently as if it's, so you can't remember them, but you. Yes.
No, I, a lot of those people that I met, I didn't get their names.
Oh dear.
And, people didn't have, about half the people there were using wristbands instead of name badges, so...
Herbie was approaching mental health age, and he was ready for the nursing home.
What?
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 What? I'm having fun with you, Kirby.
Yes,
all.
No, it is 5:47 in the morning.
There you go.
Oh, okay, it's 5:47 p.m.
Well, Mary seems
to
be all right. It's pretty early for Mary, isn't it, Mary?
Okay, Master. Master?
Yes.
I'm looking at the picture of James Frith and Lacey Frith.
Yes.
And yes, I definitely met them, and I put pictures of them on our Facebook group.
Good.
More about Quasimodo.
dug yourself out of one hole.
Picture of him because his face rings a bell.
Who?
Good grief.
Quasimodo. I'll forget it.
Yes, yes. That doesn't even warrant a...
Tumbleweeds. The tumbleweeds. Come on.
Right, anyway, right, so Doctor Who news, because you may have guessed by now that you won't get this one, won't be on this week. We're having a double whammy episode
but
next week.
I've watched the episode 3.5 times.
Yes, well, I've watched twice now. Yeah, I know. Next week, we'll have a double whammy, because hopefully Debbie will be back next week. Right, so Listen has now been confirmed as being
now,
seventh.
What's with you asking about passports?
I didn't even get through that sentence. What's it got to do with passports? Passports? Passports.
Yeah, you asked her how are you going to get a passport?
She's going to verify my identity on the photograph when I do my passport application.
Where are you going that you need a passport?
France.
Ooh. Disneyland. He's going to UK.
Disneyland Paris. France.
France.
Yeah, France.
No, you're Adam's secretly a conehead from France.
Anyway. Back to the news. Listen has now been confirmed as being the seventh most watched programme on British television for the week ending the 14th of September 2014. The episode with 7.01 million viewers was the second most watched programme on BBC television, only being beaten by the Great British Bake Off, which had 10.13 million viewers. Saturday's X Factor on ITV topped the chart with 10.21 million viewers.
Why do people want to watch a bake-off over Doctor Who?
Because it's a really good program. you would have to watch it to actually be able to appreciate it, but it is a very good show. Doctor Who Adventures.
Better than Doctor Who, Adam?
I wouldn't say it's better than Doctor Who, but it's just thing. It is no a very good. It's more appealing to a wider range of people, whereas Doctor Who is more appealing to specific people who like that type of genre. Anyway, right. Doctor Who Adventures, episode 355. Episode? Issue, in fact. Is out and it's got some goodies on it. It says earlier this week we launched our search to find a family that live and breathe Doctor Who. Well, it won't be our family because that's only me. apparently, there's a family in Cleveland.
What about Isabella? She likes Doctor Who.
Not really to that degree. No,
not as much.
She
what
tolerates
about a family
it.
In Cleveland? That's where I was this weekend.
Yes, however, the ultimate award goes to the Fishpool family from Cleveland. In their entry,
Fishpool?
They explain how the boys,
the fish people,
shut up. The boys, Dylan and Noah, have a TARDIS blue bedroom, have amazing Doctor Who parties, and love playing Doctor Who all the time. And they even have a dog called Tennant.
Mary visits them every weekend.
Yeah. She will be
a
now.
Dog called what? Since I couldn't hear you.
Somebody has
a
to dog, find out who they are.
A dog called Tennant. Okay. Yeah.
What?
They have to. What? Yeah, they what? Have to.
What?
Find, somebody needs to find out who they are and add them to the group.
Yeah.
Yes. Tom Baker autographs. Tom Baker has announced via his website a new way to obtain autographs of the from the Fourth Doctor. The actor will no longer accept requests sent to his agents as demands. Oh, here comes Mr. Shoveler. As demand has become unmanageable. However, fans can now purchase autographs from his website. Might have to do that because he won't be around for much longer, will he? I'm not mean that.
He's 80.
Getting on a bit. And the listeners will be absolutely delighted
to
hear.
Kill
I'm
off
introducing
Tom Baker.
Ben. The listeners will be absolutely delighted to hear that Ben Shoveler has joined the show.
I suspect they will be, and there'll be parties all around the world just to celebrate
and
that.
And there'll be continuing parties where Robert's just rejoined the show as well.
Hurrah for Robert!
Ben! Yay! We're both on at the same time.
I don't think this has happened since.
What are the chances of that?
One in 973,000, actually.
Something like that. So
I did work it out.
Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. We're just in the middle of the news, and then I'm going to do a bit of backtracking. Right, so Kill the Moon. BBC have confirmed that the seventh episode of the current run of Doctor Who, Kill the Moon, will broadcast at 8:30 in the evening.
Is that the name of the title?
So obviously it looks like the rest of the series is going to be 8.
That's the title of the name, yes.
Kill the Moon.
Seems to be quite a popular time for the rest of the series, then, 8:30 in the evening.
Is that anything like Let's Kill Hitler?
Yeah, no, I don't think so. BBC
so you
TV.
Think they're going to assassinate the moon?
Well, Strax wants to.
Or maybe, just get Amy and Rory to lock him in a cupboard.
Basta?
Yes.
This is the one filmed on Lanzarote.
Oh, look forward to that then. Rare Doctor Who microfigures unveiled by Character Options. So they're still persisting with this this line. We've got Captain Jack, an old Doctor, the Red Doctor from the yeah, he's a bit red. No, as in the one from that story.
Ah, from 42.
No,
was
Crimson
it?
The Crimson Aura. The wooden Cyberman. So still no decent 12th Doctor in any of these things apart from the
three. When you say 12th Doctor.
Yes. All right. I wish I hadn't.
Oh, no, goodness.
Yes, the 13th or 14th, depending on which way you want to look at it. Yes, Robert.
Yeah. Did I hear that Lego were apparently doing some Doctor
Who? I heard that, but it's not been confirmed yet because Character Options have just released this lot. So I presume that the Character Options still have a contract. Caretaker overnight viewing figures, 4.89 million viewers watched it. Obviously, those figures will go up after they add in all the downloads and stuff. So,
And more people watch Strictly Come Dancing than Doctor Who. That's horrible.
That is sad.
That's the state of our country. Thank you very much.
To watch the programme. Time Heist final rating, 6.99 million viewers watched the UK transmission of Time Heist according to consolidated figures available today, which include
and more
those
people watch Strictly Come Dancing than in total
okay,
the transmission. Final chart position should be available later in the week. Apparently in Australia.
I like it.
In Australia.
Oh, Australia.
882,000 people watched it.
Isn't that most of the people in the country?
Not bad.
Mm. Are there that many people in Australia?
Well, sadly, not as many people that live on the Isle of Wight.
I tell you what, a really good rating for a TV series here, or it would be like a finale of a series, would get 3 million maximum. Mm. Usually something would rate, like Home and Away, for example, rates around 900,000.
Yes.
Neighbours these days only get seven viewers, doesn't it? And that's Mrs. Nagel.
I need to say that, Ben, because Neighbours here is on the secondary channels. Yeah, it's all digital now. But they've got it on the secondary channel 10.
Which is channel 11.
Their secondary channel. No, channel 11's got to do with SBS, the multicultural broadcaster. But, so that's probably why it doesn't get as much ratings as... it used to because it's
it
not
probably
their
gets
main...
about the same amount of viewers over here as it does over there now.
It was a brilliant idea moving it from BBC to Channel 5, wasn't it? Anyway, moving on with news, Maggie Stables has passed away. She played the sixth Doctor companion Evelyn Smythe in the Big Finish production, so very sad.
She was the best companion.
I know, she was great.
Yeah.
But I do have to point out that someone who's involved in Doctor Who does generally die every week because there has been that many people and people do not.
It's very true, but she's something wasn't that old.
Without sounding callous, it's something we have to get used to. People die.
That's true. And obviously, we've also recently had the news that Linda Bellingham is very, very ill and she's more or less sort of giving she's passing away. She's just trying to do it with dignity.
She's in the process of it.
Yes,
in the process.
I posted that on the Facebook group.
Yeah, she's sort
about
of
Bellingham.
She's more or less sort of saying her goodbyes to everyone and stuff.
Yeah, no, that's sad. She's been a British icon for years.
Yeah, especially on the Roxo
Bellingham with the Roxo Cube adverts and stuff. And, she said the other day that she's stopping chemotherapy, isn't she?
So, she was on Strictly Come Dancing, I see.
Yeah, 4 years ago, yeah. Mm. And she expects to pass away at the end of January. I think the 28th was the date she was going to
grief. So that sort of concludes news this week. So now we can do a bit of backtracking. So the first bit of backtracking...
Master, you can see, if you look at a... on the official BBC... YouTube page, the trailer, the freeze frame that they show of the trailer for Kill the Moon, you can see the character of Courtney right on that freeze frame.
Oh, well, there you go.
Proving that she is in...
Well, even in the Doctor Who news, they show all those photographs.
Well, there's a picture here. Yeah, you can see her in a spacesuit, so never mind.
Right.
Right, so we're going to do a bit of backtracking now. And the first bit of backtracking we're going to do is asking Robert, and you can chip in here a bit, asking Robert what he thinks or how he would assess, fairly briefly, because I know fairly briefly doesn't really come into your vocabulary, Robert, but fairly briefly, the first few episodes of this series.
Well, such an improvement over the last series, I'd have to say.
Yes.
It's good. Just because I guess we're getting an unbroken run, but not, I don't know. It's like a lot of things were hyped up last series, like, you know, these are mini movie kind of things, and I just think things have, I don't know, slowed down a bit. I don't know, but I've been enjoying a bit of the light sort of episodes as well, like the Robin Hood one and what I've seen of The Caretaker, and even Time Heist to some extent. But I don't know. I really love him, Capaldi. I reckon he's brilliant.
Capaldi.
You knew who I meant. Peter. I've been really enjoying
it. He does that to all of us.
Hold on, we could call him Doctor.
Yeah.
That's his character name. I don't know if anyone knew that, but, you know.
Who? But yeah,
Doctor
yeah.
Who?
What doctor? Doctor Who?
I've been enjoying it though, so and keep on watching, and yeah, I've been looking forward to it. This was the first episode I was watching without having any prior knowledge of what was going on, really. Yeah, besides a bit of the preview, and I don't know. It seems I sort of haven't been looking beyond the work prints for any news about it. I just wanted to sort of come into the episodes a bit fresh, I guess. But seeing some of the forums that I'm on, people tend to, this episode is by Mark Gatiss, blah, 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 or whatever, and they know all about it before it's even started. But,
I've been enjoying it. You watched the work prints, didn't you, Robert?
Yeah, I watched them all before. I think... yeah, it was up to Time Heist. Cause I can't remember what episode came a bit later. So I think the series had already started when I watched the final work print or something. But it was just interesting to see the scenes that have been absent from. And I don't know, there was one, Into the Dalek. At the end of Into the Dalek, you actually see the scene when Rusty arrives back in the Dalek ship. And
explodes
himself. I don't know. Maybe that was cut for budgetary reasons.
Or maybe it was cut because all the Daleks were in heaven as well.
Yeah. Who knows?
I think that Moffat. It was cut because they've got other uses for Rusty.
Mm, that's true.
Yeah. So
they made a last-minute change.
Which is one good reason for not watching the work prints, I suppose, because obviously they've changed things.
Well, it's interesting. I'm one of these people who likes to compare and contrast and go behind the scenes of things and really see the differences and how they make things. So it's interesting to do that kind of stuff. But it is interesting that they only sort of started this filming the series at the beginning of the year. It seems like quite a quick turnaround of episodes.
Yes.
But I'm enjoying it. But I do think Moffat, it seems to be every week his name's in the credits.
Yeah, I know.
What a surprise writing. That is. I've got
interfering with writing.
Do you know what, actually, on that subject, I think the only reason that Stephen Moffat had a writer's credit in this one was because of that final scene. And I think he's written that.
I haven't seen it yet. You could be right.
You know, with the heaven bit again, I think that's his little thing this year. So I think every
time. Yeah, it's probably right. Yeah, any story that's got that in it, I suspect, is down to him.
Yeah, I'm involved. I run Doctor Who how I want to. I do keep on forgetting what I've written and Clara suddenly become the unimpossible girl, even though she was the impossible girl for the whole of the last series. We've now forgotten that. It's fine.
Either that or they're just being honest and finally, you know, putting his name on what he's been interfering with all along.
Yeah. You're right, Mary. so that's me then anyway.
Thank you, Robert. Excellent. Right, so Ben, you haven't been on for a couple of weeks, so we've missed your thoughts on the last two episodes of the show. So go on, then.
Which one didn't I do?
Because I seem to remember you liking the Listen one. I think from then on, really. So it's Time Heist and The Caretaker.
Yeah,
Time Heist, yeah, that was quite good, apart from it's quite obvious what the storyline was all the way through. No real surprise that, oh, look, the Doctor turned out to be the person who he hated all the way along, who set it all up
yeah,
for him.
That's what happened before, yeah.
It was pretty obvious, but it's still quite good, quite entertaining, and Clara looking foxy as ever. And then the one we just had on Saturday, yeah, again, it was... I watched it for a second time last night, actually, with me mate, because he didn't see it on Saturday, so we sat down and had a reviewing of it. And it was very... I mean, Capaldi's coming up with some brilliant lines. Well, I don't suppose he's coming up with them. I suppose the scriptwriters are coming up with them, but he's delivered them. No, it wasn't Moffat who wrote that funny line. It was the other chap who was involved in the writing who wrote all the funny lines. But Capaldi delivering them brilliantly. I mean, it's very funny. I mean, this is how Doctor Who always used to be, didn't it? You just have a bit of comedy in it. And,
unfortunately, Kirby can't understand what he's saying because the Scottish accent's too thick, apparently.
No, I don't understand what he's saying a lot of the time either, but I have to use the subtitles.
It was just that one thing. I couldn't figure out he was saying otters.
Oh. you didn't realize that.
What did you think he was saying?
Yeah, what?
What alternative to otters is there?
Autons?
Autons.
Ah, well, yes, I suppose, yes, he lived with some autons.
I'm wondering how he was living for a month with autons.
Actually, can I just mention something? Because that's brought something up. No, one thing that I've noticed this series...
That's what Courtney
is, They pulled back on the music.
Yes.
What I find it was annoying to the extent where you can't hear dialogue. But this series, it's been quite, besides the accent, the dialogue's been quite clear, and it's such an improvement.
Maybe that's what they've done. Much as I love it. No one could understand things under Peter Capaldi's accent.
And I'm noticing that they're using little snippets of the 11th Doctor.
Yes,
throughout this. Yeah.
Maybe they ran out of time for a new theme or something.
Yeah. I hate the new title still.
Oh, me too. Me too. Hate the music.
They're about to change them for next year.
They're okay. Yeah.
Hate them.
I always think I'm going to look at a CBBC show when
it starts.
Yeah,
it does look like that, doesn't it? You're quite right. It looks really childish. And, you know, you expect...
Like, kids, let's go on an adventure together.
It does remind me, the music does remind me of the Sarah Jane Adventures theme tune.
Yeah.
It's all high-pitched and happy. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Totally agree. I think it's, you know, they've made a mistake with that. They should go back to having the... I don't know, the David Tennant title.
Yeah, well, the thing is, though, right, with the theme, which I don't mind, but I just think that when Doctor Who came back, that there was a mixing in of the Delia Derbyshire theme into that particular...
Yeah.
Which I thought was... It was subtle, but you could hear it there in the background. I mean, they've completely moved away from that.
I think you should never lose that.
I think there should be something of that in each version. Because it was there, and it's the most recognisable Doctor Who thing, really, is that.
Yeah.
I mean, they seem to have... Just seem to be going off track, and where it's it's Murray Gold, you know, who's done
it. I'm looking for full orchestra with a lot of bass tones, you know, to give it the depth and the gravity.
But
It's all gone a bit. Yeah, they need to steer back on track with the theme tune. But I mean, I don't mind, because at least Doctor Who's on air. But it's just a thing that, I think they could do better with.
Master.
I probably would dislike the graphics. Less if they had better music, but the combination of that music with those graphics really makes me feel kiddie show.
That's the thing. It has become, you know, it's almost like they've gone, oh, let's put it on at 5:30 on Tuesday night on CBBC. It don't matter.
Exactly.
They're sticking on at 8:30 on Saturday evenings now, which is
exactly. But the two things I do really like about the series are the inside of the TARDIS. I think that's just phenomenal.
That's great,
really
good. But actually, one thing I don't like, and I was discussing this with my mate last night as well, is, you know, they're now, since it's come, it's really since it's been
Clara's wearing clothes.
Well, that really annoys me, actually. but no, the thing that gets, is the fact that, you know, you always used to be, you had Adric and Nyssa and all the other companions all throughout, who's lived in the TARDIS.
Yes.
It has been since it's come back. So, you know, I'm not going to blame Russell T. Davies for this. I'm squarely putting the blame at the feet of Stephen Moffat, even though he didn't take over until series four.
You know, is this like a drop-off, pick-back-up? And it looked on Saturday's episode when, you know, they were doing the whole beginning bit. It was like the doctor goes around to pick Clara up every morning at 9 o'clock for an adventure.
Yeah.
And it just seems a little bit, no, hold on a minute. She either lives on the TARDIS and is your companion, or she's a mate you go and pick. I mean, I go and see my mate every couple of days. We don't go out for an adventure in space and time. And also, the other thing is...
It makes it a soap opera, doesn't
it? Yeah, it is. And that was the other thing I was going to ask. What is on television in Doctor Who Universe Land at 7:30 on a Saturday night?
Good point.
When Clara's in watching telly on a Saturday night at 7:30, and what is on? Same with EastEnders.
X Factor.
What's on at 8 o'clock on a Tuesday?
Reruns of EastEnders. Night? Yeah.
Oh, it's X Factor.
Sex Factor.
X.
No, near the end of Amy and Rory's time, the Doctor was dropping them off and picking them up. Mm. But not until something near the end of their time. Yeah.
You know that scenario where they almost in the Resurrection of the Daleks, I think it was Remembrance of the Daleks, where they did that sort of cut back to the TV when it was just about to announce the first episode. Now that first happened in an episode of Sykes from the '70s, where Hattie Jakes and Eric Sykes, who played brother and sister in that series, were just about to sit down watching TV, and on the screen came the titles of Sykes. Which I think is where they got that idea from.
Isn't that almost breaking the fourth wall?
But it works all right with comedy, not so much in a...
And the fifth and sixth wall, not
proper drama series.
It's not so much breaking the wall, it's more smashing it down with a huge sledgehammer.
Yeah.
As if we didn't have enough amazing things to believe.
Indeed.
Yeah, exactly. Cool. Travelling into... And that's the other thing, right? You've got, what's called it, Pinky Bloke, going... Why do you go in the TARDIS? Why do you travel off to see things around the universe?
Yeah. Really? Duh.
Because I can.
Yeah. Pinky Bloke. I like that. Let's call him Pinky Bloke.
Pinky Bloke. Yeah.
We did get a message on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join, from Matthew Kressel, which I forgot to mention.
Oh?
Yeah, Matthew Kressel. Remember him?
Matthew Messel.
Remember him at all. Who is he?
Don't know, but he's written a message. And he says, after a few busy weeks, I'm finally catching up on Doctor Who Series 8. Yes, I can call myself a fan now. Yeah, I know. Robert of Sherbet was fun. Nothing dark or terribly serious, which made me think of one of my favourite Fourth Doctor stories, Androids of Tara, which interestingly replaced Robin Hood story itself. Love Tom Riley's Robin Hood and the excellent rivalry between him and Capaldi's Doctor. Overall, a jolly good romp. And then Listen. For one of the reasons I love Doctor Who so much is the sheer diversity of its storytelling abilities and how it can go from one jolly romp one week to something far different the following week. Listen certainly proves that with a story that spooky, atmospheric, and yet never loses sight of its characters. Quite possibly Capaldi and Jenna Coleman's best Doctor Who performances to date and one of
Moffat's best scripts. Mary, how can you keep talking with Matthew on your other podcast because he disagrees with you on Listen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we agree to disagree.
Yeah, I'll continue. I know there's been some criticism of the episode's lack of monster, but I think that's not the point. Fear itself is the monster, a constant companion to use the episode's words, and something that can drive us to do things both great and terrible. Overall, I'd say it was the best episode of the season so far. That was Time Heist and The Caretaker, which he hasn't watched yet. So thank you, Matthew. Didn't quite post your feedback in the conventional way, and where you're actually a sort of semi-presenter on the show, I would have thought you'd actually know how to actually post your feedback. Yeah. Normally just send it to Mary and she'll read it out.
Pasta?
Yes.
A completely different subject. I've been Googling Ellis George, who played Courtney, and apparently she's going to be in next week's story, and then that's it.
Yeah, we know that. I see. Then that's it.
Just one thing about Courtney.
Yes.
Right? If you're on the TARDIS and you're about to get spacey and throw up, why would you run back inside the TARDIS? Why would you throw up outside the door? There's a lot more space up there.
Shield. There's a shield, though. You'd still
would have come right back and
bounce back.
Yeah. Okay.
Projectile vomit.
Now, that would have been quite funny, though, wouldn't it? She blurt and it goes straight in the Doctor's face. Yeah.
Maybe they leave her on the moon or something.
Accepting there is the TARDIS shield that sits around it. it still allows Capaldi to climb up on top of the TARDIS while it's in space.
Yes.
And so therefore there's going to be a bit of gap around it, so it'll probably just fall 6 feet down and then there'll be a puddle of stick underneath the TARDIS. So when it lands, you'll have to clean up the bottom.
Far too much information.
You got to wonder if the TARDIS has an automatic cleanup mode, you know, so that nobody has to go and actually clean up the sick.
Yeah, all right. I don't really need to think we need to go into the gory details of vomit.
And Kirby, if you've ever heard my podcast with Matthew, we disagree a lot.
Yes, I listen to it when I can.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry, Deb's just departing. She's gone off to do a lady.
I can't listen to as many podcasts as I used to when I lived in Tennessee, because we're not allowed to listen to devices at work.
That's harsh.
Well, it would be dangerous if I listened to devices at work.
Yeah, so, yes, so I can only listen to podcasts really on the drive to and from work, and that's
only
it averages 35 minutes one way.
Yeah. So. Damn, you're going to have to take a longer route to work.
That's right.
That's what everyone wants to do ultimately, though. It takes longer to get to work.
So I'm way behind listening to podcasts. I haven't even re-listened to most of ours. The longest podcast that I now listen to, and it takes me days to get through it, is Staggering Stories. Unfortunately, they don't.
Anyway, enough of the talking about other Doctor Who podcast, and back to this one.
Master.
Yes.
I wouldn't have heard about the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast if a certain Reese Parton.
Never mind.
Yes, on Staggering Stories.
We've established this. Back to this podcast. Jeff Waddle posted something on the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join. And he said, 6 out of 6 for crackers. And next week's looks brilliant. Woo-hoo.
I think he got Jeff his Waddle.
W's,
I mean,
and H's around the way.
He's had a personality transplant.
I think it's because of Capaldi.
Being Scottish, yeah. Yeah.
I want to know when you change the name of the 20 megabyte Facebook Doctor Who page to 20 megabyte Facebook Doctor Who page, which you can join.
Because I just can't fit the "which you can join" bit after. That is actually the official name of the group. Just I can't actually add it on.
That's what he says all the time, yes.
Dennis Jones said it's a brilliant episode. Robert Lansdowne said he loved it. Adam Saunders, who once gave this show a particularly bad review, but has since apologised. So thank you for that apology, Adam.
You have to apologise for giving it a bad review. People are allowed opinions.
I know, but I prefer.
If he didn't like it, he's allowed to say
the unfortunate
like
side
it.
Of the things.
We think he's ugly. That's not our fault.
With iTunes.
I don't know what you look like. I bet you're beautiful.
Be quiet. That with iTunes, once you've posted a review, you can't backtrack. So once you say post a good review and then think it's rubbish, you can't change your mind.
You can post a review on top of that, though.
You can change your ID and post a different view. No, you can't. He can't change his mind. It doesn't matter anyway. He's a lovely chap.
Why can't you change your mind on something? Not, this isn't that,
you can add
this,
another
not
review.
Hitler.
I don't think so. I don't think you can write a second review on something on iTunes.
Why not? If you've viewed it the second time, surely you can look at it and go, actually, on my second viewing, I did actually like it a bit better than the first viewing.
The thing for me is that he listens to the show and he likes it now, and it doesn't matter what he wrote in the past.
Well,
anyway,
we like him.
He's lovely, isn't he?
Yes.
Right, this is fast becoming the best series since Series 5. Not a dud one in the bunch so far. Well, Mary would disagree with you on that one.
I disagree, too.
You bet.
Jeff Waddle.
Success.
Yeah, Jeff Waddle says Season 5 was his favourite.
We had success, dud, success, success, dud, success.
I think I'll leave it end on that one.
How does that go?
Jeffrey Williams, one of our new joinees.
Hello, Jeffrey.
And you listen to the bit that which you can join. He said, first post on the 20 megabyte wall. Hello to you all. Love the caretaker. I can't wait to hear the opinions of the podcast members. On a scale of 10, I give it an 8.5. Well, if we were doing it on a scale of 10, I'd give it a 7.5. What do you think, Ben?
I'd give it an 8. I would have given it higher, but I had an issue with it. And that was when after they'd sent the wheelchair thing off into the temporal vortex thing the first time, and he'd been shooting his guns around and he'd shot the chairs, and the chairs were burning in the background with that very funny visual effect of having a total circle in the chairs.
Yes.
And the chairs were still burning. It's in a school and the fire alarm wasn't going off. Something was not right there.
Yes.
And my mate, who I was watching it with last night, is a fire alarm expert, and he agreed with me that the fire alarm would have been warping off his... So anyway, if that's all I can find fault with,
occupational
it kind of
health
that
and safety.
Here, go on then, Robert. Marks out of 10.
I can only, I can't really give a good one because
you haven't
seen
it yet. All right, give the marks out of 10 for the first half.
8, yeah.
8, right there. Then. Mary.
9.
Woo-hey! Kirby.
Whoa!
9.
Ooh.
There you go. It's like being on Strictly Come Dancing. No. Seven. There we go. So,
and Jeffrey, to Jeffrey, who says he can't wait to hear the opinions. You don't have to wait very long, Jeffrey,
no,
because
no.
Adam throws these up the minute we sign off.
Grief. Well, Billy Kirkbright said he's still digesting it, so much so he didn't bother sending in any feedback this week.
Maybe
we'll count
threw
that.
It up
and
because he's no longer digesting it.
Yeah.
Dinos Daniel says that Danny Pink is quite the mover, and he's like a Jamie companion. Well, I think probably slightly more
Clara
clever than Jamie.
Problems.
Yes, I know. I'm with you on that one, Ben.
You're too old.
Edward Owen says that his comment is that the whole Danny relationship has moved awfully fast, but then he realises that they're dealing with time travel and you have no idea how long it's really been going on as the Doctor zips in and out. And he liked the episode.
There is that, but saying that Clara loves him after 3 meetings is a little bit hasty.
No,
yeah,
we don't know
yeah.
how long it's been.
Yeah, that's the excuse for all these sort of little quirky things, isn't it? We don't know
In
how
my
long.
Mind, it's been 3 weeks, and that is too much for Clara to start announcing her love for somebody.
I agree. I totally agree.
Yeah, so if you want to join in any of these debates, join the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group. Of course, if you're not listening to the show, you wouldn't have got that message. How are you going to join? That's crazy.
That's
a bit of a paradox.
On the Facebook group, I have posted lots of pictures of the cosplay at Anime Week in Atlanta, which I just went to on Saturday.
Did you get dressed up, Kirby?
Just
I hope
usual,
you didn't go naked, for goodness sake.
Just my usual scarf.
You just wore a scarf? Well, surely a pair of trousers and a
I hope
shirt.
It was a very long scarf.
Yeah, you wrapped it around your bed.
Yes, it is. It's my standard.
Just a scarf, tastily placed.
1982 scarf that I paid an enormous sum of money of $1 a foot for 14 feet, which I thought was...
14 was feet? You need to wrap, cover 14 foot's worth. My goodness me. What a boaster. Right, so
what she said.
Yes,
who's the lucky Mrs. Kirby? Check out my 14-foot scarf, man. Covering editing it needs to cover.
He's gone very quiet all of a sudden.
He's flushing.
Doesn't take much. Normally it takes quite a lot to shut him up, but that seems to have worked.
It's still 14 foot. is that a scarf covering your voice? Oh,
yeah,
bit of both, actually.
Move on to something else. I was going to say. Oh, yes. Sponsors, Mary.
Who1.co.uk.
Is it over there? Is that UK?
No, he's back. He's back.
Yes, it is. And then Lavarzi?
Yes.
Lavarzi.co.uk.
Yes, indeed. Right. Yes. Well, at Who1.
And our new sponsor, 14-foot whopper. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, you can buy scarves to cover your substantial genitalia from Lavarzi.
No one mentioned
Funny
the word
that.
Genitalia. No one was talking about that.
Well,
what are you going on about, Adam? You're so crude.
Am I? Oh, dear. Yes, but if you need a 14-foot scarf for that particular purpose, you can get them from Lavarzi. So I should get Mary to say that.
Lavarzi?
Var Lavarzi, yes. Lavarzi.co.uk.
Doesn't he play for Paris Saint-Germain?
I don't know. That's the they got a player called Lavarzi?
That's Lavarzi.
Yeah, is it? Okay. Right, so
can you hear the cat?
Yes, I can. Stop trying to cover over your blushing face by putting purring on the microphone.
No, all he's going on about now is the fact he's got a 14-thing. Now he's talking about pussy, which I'm not sure. This is going to be a family podcast, Kirby. Would you keep your thoughts to yourself, sir?
We have to stop you somewhere.
Yes, anyway, I was saying, it's a bit weird moving from only wearing a 14-foot scarf to cover certain things and then cats to Doctor Who items. Yes, that's what I said. Yeah.
No, you said cats.
It's the same thing. Daleks Corgi
not
set. Be quiet. Daleks Corgi set.
You talk about cats as in midnight, not a sound on the pavement.
Actually, master.
No, the cats are meowing. Yes.
The cat's name is Midnight.
Is it? Oh, you said this last week. Okay.
Yes.
Named after the episode.
No, because it's just an all-black cat, and it just seemed appropriate.
Okay. Right. Back to whoone.co.uk, where you can buy Daleks Corgi sets. $19.99, or Remembrance of the Daleks Corgi set with the Davros and the actually, I don't look very
would
much
that
like
be
Remembrance
would that be
Daleks.
Welsh corgis and Hang the Queen likes them.
Yeah, I was going to say I didn't realise that Daleks had pet dogs.
Yeah, right.
I think they've got the colour of the Daleks wrong on that particular set. Unfortunately, not being pedantic or anything, but if you go and to whoone.co.uk and look up the Remembrance of Daleks Corgi set, I think Corgi have not researched their Dalek colourings very well on that one. The cufflinks, a diamond logo, which are $14.95, and you can get earrings, Cyberman earrings, $19.99. I haven't got any pierced ears, so I can't get them myself. And, of course, the brilliant TARDIS bookends, £39.99. So
the only problem I've heard with those Dalek earrings, though, is if you put them next to your memory stick, they delete.
Magic's disapproval. Shut up.
Sorry.
Shut up!
Sorry.
He's right. So marked.
Why do you?
I asked him politely.
Shut up.
I asked him politely. He ignored me. Anyway, right. So essentially, that's it. Next week, we'll be bringing back that popular quiz show. You won't get this one. So a brush up on the episode we've just reviewed. Because
I watched
it
twice recording this week, so I'd get points this bloody week. You're not even doing the quiz.
I know. I didn't realise there was going to be so many people on. And, of course, if Debbie's not doing the quiz, she's got no chance of winning, has she? So, that's a joke.
Twice I watched it, I tell you.
Well, I only watched it once. I didn't have time to write any questions on it.
You've got to ask me some questions about it.
I don't know any.
Ben is prepared.
Okay, well, if you come on the show next week, you can be prepared then as well.
I will remember it next week. I only watched it last night. Come on, be fair.
As far as I know, I can record on Monday.
Can you?
Yes. But then I'm going on a business trip that morning, but I should be able to record, and then I might have to say bye in the middle of the quiz, but maybe not.
I might have a job next week.
That was a bit of a strange
story. Really?
I'm going for a job interview late this afternoon.
Gainful employment?
I hope that works out.
Was this the interview that got cancelled the other day?
No, this is another one that I had sorted out a little while before that one. That one was annoying last week, and I'd already bought the train ticket up to London, and then they phoned up and said, sorry, didn't you?
I saw that.
Which was gutting. But yeah, I've got another interview this afternoon down Southampton way. So I'll wave as I'm down in there, down near you, Adam.
Oh, that'd be good.
See me.
And I'm sure he'll see as well.
Sorry, I'll have my 14-foot scarf on and nothing else. Sure.
But anyway, I'm not quite sure when we're recording. I'm presuming Mary hasn't moaned when Kobe mentioned the word Monday that we might.
Oh, I keep saying, what about Sunday? What about Sunday?
Sunday might be all right once the new series comes to an end.
But it's not going to work for this next week because Sunday would be better for me as well. But
yeah, but unfortunately, I'm filming on Saturday, so it sort of reduces my time to watch the show. And then I'm working on Sunday, and I know it sounds excusy, but unfortunately, it does limit
it
my time for preparation for the podcast.
But so, I mean, who's the host on this show anyway? You know,
me. So therefore, it'll Monday is probably just stretching it a little bit. But
who's got the book of excuses?
Yeah.
Reese has got it. He's just compiling a second edition.
They did to you, obviously.
I'm going to be busy. I'm going to be working.
Are you working on Monday? Mary? Are you available on Monday?
Yeah, I'm available.
That's good then. Are you available on Monday, Kirby?
Yes.
Are you available on Monday,
as
Robert?
As far as I know.
Nine.
Pardon?
Nine. I'll have to see.
Okay, we'll see. We'll keep it up in the end, that one. And if I don't know
what
Debbie's
up
to. I don't know what Debbie's up to. We'll soon find out. Could end up being Tuesday anyway, depending on Deb's arrangements. But other than that, we'll be back again next week with the usual things. And thank you for listening to the show. Goodbye.
Yes.
Goodbye,
Hans. The same farewell.
sound of music.
Everyone have a lovely day.
I think next week we should do a musical version.
Yes. That'd be an interesting challenge. Everything
where we sing music. Everything to do with Doctor Who. Like that. Capaldi is funny, Clara is sexy, Moffat is a piece of poo. That can go as an extra, Adam, on this week's podcast.
Yes, it can.
It should. It should.
An Easter egg.
The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.